שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר זוהר.
Hello, we're studying in Zohar for All. We're in volume 5 in the portion Tetzaveh. You can find Sunday study materials in our archive, archive.kbb.one.com. Questions can be asked during the lesson. Once again, we're in portion Tetzaveh. We're in the heading, and you bring near you.
All the power in the book of Zohar is its illumination. That's why it's called the Zohar, or the upper radiance, which is meant to work according to the spiritual law, which is the law of equivalence of form. And if we come closer, or want to come closer, to that quality of the light, which is love, bestowal, connection, then that light, according to our efforts, will influence us. And so we'll try to connect as much as we can, and according to our efforts, we'll be awarded with the light of the Torah.
We're on the heading, and you bring near you, item 38. Moses, the sun, was not using the moon, Malchut, and bring you near from the people of Israel, not from me. Moses, the sun, was not using the moon, Malchut, until he was included in all sides, the letter Vav, in Aaron and the Levites, the right and the left. It is written, from among the children of Israel, to minister unto me. To minister unto me is with an excess Vav, which means using the letter Vav, Tiferet, meaning to use Vav, which is Tiferet, El, to me, which is the letter He, Malchut, which means using the serving of the Vav in the He, so it will be one. Happy are Israel, who went into the secrets of the Torah, and came out, and know the secrets of the ways of the Torah, to walk in the path of truth. 39. It is written, from among the children of Israel, since everything is called one, being one, as it should be, only from among the children of Israel. This is so because the children of Israel stand below to open ways and illuminate paths, to light the candles, which are the upper sefirot, and to bring everything from below upwards, so all will be one. This is why it is written, but you that cleave unto the Lord. 40. And you bring near you, everything is brought closer by those who know how to unite the unification and to serve his maker. This is so because when the offering is there, as it should be, everything draws near together, the sides, right and left. And the illumination of the face of the Creator is in the world, in the temple. Then the Sitra Achra surrenders and hides, and the side of holiness governs with light and joy. And when the offering is not present as it should be, or if the unification was not as it should be, the faces are sad and the light is absent. Then the moon, the Malchut, is hidden, and the Sitra Achra governs in the world, since there is none who knows how to unite the holy name properly. 41. The Creator did not test Job and did not have a test with him, as tests of the rest of the righteous. After all, it does not say about him, and God tested Job, as it is written about Abraham, and God tested Abraham, who sacrificed his only son with his own hands. He did not give and did not pass ever anything to Job, and was not told that he would give. Instead, he was given to the hands of the slanderer and under din of the Creator, who evoked the slanderer upon him, for which he did not ask. This is so because the slanderer always comes to awaken upon people, and here the Creator awakened the slanderer on him, as it is written, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And in the course of days, 42. And in the course of days, Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. In the course of Yamim, days is impurity, and not in the course of Yamim, which is holiness. The Creator said to Daniel, "But you go your way till the end." He told him, "Which end? End of Yamim or end of Yamin?" He told him, end of Yamin. 43. This is what David feared, as it is written, Lord, make me know my end, whether to the end of Yamim or the end of Yamin. And here about Cain it is written, and in the course of Yamim, and not end of Yamin. This is why his offering was not accepted, for it was from the Sitrach. 44. It is written, and Abel, he too brought of the firstling of his flock and their fat. He too shows that there was a part of the Sitrach in the offering of Abel too. And there was a part of holiness in the offering of Cain. However, the whole of Abel's offering and its essence was to the Creator. And he gave a part to the Sitrach. As it is written, and of their fat, meaning that the fat and the good was to the Creator. And Cain, he worked primarily to the end of Yamim, the Sitrach, and gave only a part to the Creator. This is why he and his offering were rejected. Giving part to the Sitrach. 45. In Job, it is written, and his sons went and held a feast. And it is written, and when the days of their feasting were over. And it is written, and they went and invited their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. This is the main thing, that he should give the Sitrach, then offer sacrifices. An offering is a male, not a female. It rises up in its entirety, and he did not make an offering that would include her properly, giving a part to the Sitrach too. 46. Had he given a part to all to the Sitrach too, the slanderer would not be able to come afterwards. But why did the Creator harm him for not giving a part to the Sitrach? It is because he caused the light to be covered and concealed. Since he did not make another offering and with which to nourish the Sitrach, who has a part in the offerings. Instead, he offered only an offering that rises up, and the Sitrach has no part in it. This is why it is written, thus did Job all the days, not giving a part to the Sitrach. Had the Sitrach been fed a part, she would move away from the temple and would depart from it, and the sight of holiness would rise high above. 47. But he did not wish for the Sitrach to enjoy his offering and remove himself from her, meaning removed himself from the evil so as not to give any part to her. For this reason, he always made an offering, since the Sitrach never enjoys an offering. Thus, all that Sitrach later took from Job, she took from him her own. This is also why Job caused an offering of foreskin over the Holy Covenant, which was not removed from the Holy Covenant. And this is the reason why the Creator evoked the slanderer over him, as it is written, have you considered my servant Job? Job's son sinned in eating and drinking. They drank to intoxication by which the foreskin was drawn over the Holy Covenant, meaning the Sitrach blocked the lights imparted from Yesod to the world. This is the main thing for the Sitrach. And Job could have protested, but he did not protest. Instead, he offered an offering for them. Had he offered a sin offering, by that he would have given a part to the Sitrach and would separate her from the holiness. But because he offered an offering that did not have a part for the Sitrach in it, she did not retire from the holiness. By that, Job caused the foreskin to remain on the Holy Covenant because of his son's sins, because he did not protest against them and did not correct them through an offering. Thus, Job caused a covering of foreskin over the Holy Covenant, for the foreskin was not removed through a burnt offering.
Constantly renew the intentions. Constantly, one should examine himself to see if his intention is proper and if it can be strengthened.
48. When the Creator wished to unite with Israel in Egypt, the time was not right because the foreskin, the Sitrach, was covering the light, Until the slanderer came and took what was his from Job, then the Creator commanded to eat the Passover in haste while the Sitra Achra was preoccupied with Job. And he commanded to remove the foreskin from over them. Then the Creator united with Israel, and the Sitra Achra was separated from the holiness, was preoccupied with Job, and took what was his. And then it is the Lord's Passover, since thus far it was not Passover for the Lord. Happy are they who know and unite the unification of their master properly. There is no disclosure of illumination of Chokhmah unless during the disclosure of punishment and dinim, which are drawn over the wicked who extend Chokhmah from above downwards. If the disclosure of dinim ceases, the illumination of Chokhmah ceases to chase away the Sitra Achra at that time who wishes to suck out and to extend the Chokhmah from above downwards. When the Creator wished to disclose illumination of Chokhmah to them, to unite with them, the time was not right because the foreskin, the Sitra Achra, was covering the light. This was so because the foreskin, the Sitra Achra, was awaiting the disclosure of Chokhmah to extend from above downwards. Hence, the illumination of Chokhmah was concealed and covered, which is considered that the foreskin covers the and blocks the upper light from appearing. Until such a time, and when the slanderer takes what is his from Job, meaning until the time of disclosure of punishments and judgments, when the wicked who extended the Chokhmah from above downwards suffer, the disclosure of these judgments chase away the Sitra Achra and the Chokhmah can shine. The Passover offering is disclosure of illumination of Chokhmah. Hence the Creator commanded to eat the Passover in haste while the Sitra Achra was busy with Job. Since the illumination of Chokhmah comes with eating the Passover, and the Creator commanded to eat in haste so it will not later than the time of disclosing the punishments by which the Sitra Achra punished Job. Since then, there was no fear of the sucking out of the Sitra Achra. Then it was indeed the Lord's Passover, since there was confidence that the illumination of Chokhmah would not be diverted from above downwards, and Passover would be brought to the possession of the Sitra Achra. Because until now, it was not the Lord's Passover. In other words, if illumination of Chokhmah that comes with eating of the Passover, not during the disclosure of the punishments, had been revealed, the illumination would not be for the Creator, but for the Sitra Achra, since it would be extended from above downwards. 49. Afterwards, it is written, "You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread," which means that one who eats leavened bread on Passover, it is as though he commits idolatry. 50. When Israel came out of Egypt, they came out of the possession of the Sitra Achra, which is called leaven, evil bread. This is why idolatry is called leavened bread. The evil inclination is the idolatry, which is also called sourdough. Such is the evil inclination in man, like the leaven in the dough, entering man's intestines slowly and multiplying in it until the whole body is mingled in it. This is idolatry, and this is why it is written, "There shall not be a strange God within you."
Everything's fine, right? Nothing new here, right? So, make an effort to maintain the intention, please.
Leave off the man whose breath is in his nostrils. 51. It's written, "Leave off the man whose breath is in his nostrils, for why should he be regarded?" What is leave off? Was the prophet cautioning to avoid the rest of the people, and that the rest of the people should avoid him, so people will never draw near to each other? However, leave off was said in regards to one who comes to visit his friend to greet him before he blesses the Creator. 52. It writes, "Leave off," and it is written, "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be considered a curse to him." even though he already blessed the Creator and does not need to be cautioned. Leave off about that. But what is leave off of the man whose breath is in his nostrils? Here the Creator commanded man and cautioned him to keep himself from those people who diverted their ways from the good way to the bad way and defile themselves with the impurity of the Sitra Acha. 53. When the Creator created man, he did it in the higher form and breathed in him a holy spirit that consists of three: Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. The Neshama is above all of them, since she is the high force to know and to keep the commandments of the Creator. And if he puts the holy Neshama in another work, this is what defiles it, and he leaves the work of his master. This is so because these three forces are all one. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama participate together. They are one, as in the upper one, where Binah, Zeranpin, and Malchut are one. Similarly, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama are one, since they extend from them. 54. If you see a person with all the degrees, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, and he still did not learn how he is, who he is, how does one know if he should be approached or avoided? Indeed, he will know him and recognize who he is in his anger. If he keeps the holy Neshama while he is angry, so as to avoid uprooting it from its place, so no foreign god will come to be in its place, this is a worthy man. He is a slave to his master. This is a whole man. 55. And if that man does not keep it and uproots this high holiness because he came into anger and places the Sitra Acha in its stead, it is certain that he has rebelled against his master and must not be approached and bonded with him. This is as it's written, O you who devour your soul in your anger, who devours and uproots his soul because of his anger and instills a foreign god on himself. It is written about him, leave off the man whose breath is in his nostrils. For he devours that holy neshama and defiles it because of his anger, since he has fallen into anger and replaced his soul with his anger. For why should he be regarded? That man is considered a stage on which idolatry is performed. 56. One who joins a foreign god who speaks with him, it is as though he joins actual idolatry. Since idolatry, a real foreign god is within him. Moreover, he has uprooted the upper holiness from its place and instilled idolatry, a foreign god, instead. It is written about it, turn not unto the idols. Similarly, it is forbidden to look at the face of one who is angry. 57. But there is anger of sages. Anger of sages is good for all sides. The Torah is fire, and the Torah makes him boil. As it is written, is not my word as fire, says the Lord? The anger of sages is in the words of Torah. The anger of the sages is to give glory to the Torah. It is all for the work of God. It was said about it, for the Lord your God is devouring fire, a jealous God. 58. Yet if anger is for other things and not the words of Torah, is it not the work of the Creator? Since of all the sins man commits, none are as actual idolatry as is anger. It is forbidden to come close to it, and if one is angry for a time but then repents, it is not so. Since because he uproots the holiness of his soul from him and from her place, and that foreign god has robbed that place, he strengthens in him, does not leave him. An exception is when one is completely purified from everything and uproots the foreign god from within him forever, and then tries to be sanctified and extend holiness upon himself, then may it be that he will be sanctified. 59. When one uproots the holiness of his soul and a foreign god is in its place, that one is called impure. That man is defiled and he defiles those who come near him. And that holiness is uprooted from him. And since it was uprooted from him once, as much as one may do, it will never return to its place. 60. If this is so, how many are the impure who are purified? Another impurity is different. For one can only defile oneself on the outside. But the anger is different from everything, since he has defiled his whole body from within and from without. The soul and everything is defiled, but other impurities in the world defile only the body from without. This is why it is written, "Leave off the man whose breath is in his nostrils, for he has replaced the sanctity of his master with his anger." And this is impurity that defiles everything. For why should he be regarded? An idol worship he is certainly regarded. 61. That anger is idolatry, sitracha. One should be wary of it and part from it. This is why it is written, "You shall make for yourself no molten gods." Yourself means so you will not harm yourself. Afterwards, it is written, "You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread." Keep is the side of holiness, and one must keep it and avoid replacing it with the sitracha. If he replaces it with the sitracha, he is defiled and defiles all who draw near him.
And as usual, we maintain the intention and anticipate the reforming light. Yes. Matzot and the Omer count, 62. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, matzot. This is the place, the malchut, which is called keep. And for this reason it is written, "You shall keep the feast of the matzot. For 7 days you are to eat matzot as I commanded you." These 7 days of the feast of matzot are not as the 7 days of Sukkot, since those of Sukkot are superior, Chagat Nehim de Bina, which is own rose and clothed. But those of the feast of Matzot are below Chagat Nehim of Malchut. Hence, in those of Sukkot we say a complete Hallel, which is a series of psalms. And on those of the feast of Matzot we do not say a complete Hallel. And because they are 7 days below of Malchut, it is written, 7 days you shall eat Matzot. However, Matzot is written without the letter Vav in Hebrew, to indicate that it is before the high days of the Vav, the Ampin, were on them. 63. This meaning of the feast of Matzot being sanctified, since on the first night of Passover, Zon were sanctified and received the Mochin of Upper Abba V'Ima, which rose and clothed them. Hence, why did Malchut come down from her place again? After all, sanctity is increased, not decreased. And also, why did Abba V'Ima descend below these 7 lower days? 64. It is written, "And make atonement for himself and for his house." This indicates that one who makes atonement should atone for himself first, and then for his house. Similarly, first Malchut began to be sanctified and come out in holiness on the first night of Passover to atone for herself. And once she is sanctified, she needs to atone for her household and to sanctify them. This is why she came down, to sanctify her household. And she sanctifies them through Israel below. And when those are sanctified, they must raise her up. Because when the house of the queen, Malchut, is sanctified, it rises up to connect to the high days above. It is known that there is no absence in spirituality. any change of location does not mean that one has left and become absent in one place and moved and came to the next place. Rather, there is addition of location here, since he remains entirely in the first location, as well as comes to the next place. According, on the first night of Passover, when Zon rose to Abba Ve'ima and Nukva was established in Mochin de Abba Ve'ima, the Nukva remained in her place below as well. And the seven Sfirot, Chagat Nehim de Nukva, that remained below in her place are called the House of Nukva. It is as though the Nukva rose and did not take her household with her. It turns out that the great correction that the Nukva received on the first night of Passover did not reach her household at all, for it remained below. One who atones should atone for himself first, and then for his household. Hence, on the first night of Passover, Malchut began to be sanctified, as in, and make atonement for himself, when she herself received the correction because of her assent. And once she is sanctified, she needs to atone for her household, since her household, her seven Sfirot Chagat Nehim, that remained below and did not rise with her, have not received atonement yet, meaning Mochin de Ima, since the day of atonement is Ima. This is why she came down, to sanctify her household. After the first night of Passover, Malchut descended from Abba Ve'ima to her place below to sanctify her seven Sfirot that remained below. She sanctifies them through Israel below by Israel keeping the words, "You shall keep the feast of the Matzot for 7 days." By that, her 7 days, Chagat Nehim, that remained below, which are called her household, are corrected. And since they were sanctified, she must be raised above. This is so because when the house of the queen, Malchut, is sanctified, it rises up, meaning that after these 7 days received correction in their place, they need to raise the Malchut to Abba Ve'ima once again, and this is done by the Omer count.
65.
This is what we calculate, counting the Omer count standing up, because these days that we count are high days. The Sfirot de Zerampin, male. Also, each time a person enters these high days, the Zerampin, whether if in prayer or in praise, he should stand on his legs, because the thighs and the body are used equally there in Zerampin. And the thighs and the body should stand as a male who stands with all his strength, and not as a female whose custom is to sit. Moreover, one should stand because of the praise of the upper world. The male light, which shines from above downwards, is considered to be Gal. Hence, all his Rosh Tochsof, Chabad Chagat Nehi, should be used in clothing the light. For this reason, man too should stand on his legs when in prayer or while praising Zerampin, who is male, so that his Nehi too, which are called legs, will be in use. However, the female light, which shines from below upwards, is considered to be Vak without Gal. For this reason, they need only Rosh and Toch, Chabad Chagat de Kelim, to clothe the lights of Ruach Nefesh. Thus, the legs, Nehi, are vacant without light, and completely inactive, as one who sits on a chair, when the legs are not used. Therefore, on the Shabbat, or during prayer to Malchut, who is female, one should be seated too, and not use his legs. This is so because there is an inverse relation between the lights and the kelim, where the one that lacks Nehi, the kelim, lacks gal in the lights. 66. And because the Omer count is the male, due to the extension of the upper Sfirot de Zerampin, the women are exempted from this count and are not obliged to count, but only the males, to connect each one properly, Similarly, all your males shall appear, meaning the males must appear and not the women. And because the covenant is in the male, not in the female, and because it is above in a male, in the Ampin, women are not obliged. 67. On all 7 days, on those high days of Zerampin, one of the lower days, that of Malchut, receives holiness. And this lower day of Malchut is called a week, since it was sanctified by the 7 upper days. Also, this is so on each and every 7 of those 50 upper days through to the 50th day, including the last one. In other words, the 50th day is not among the correctors of the lower days. And when there are 49 upper days below in Malchut, there are her 7 days that were sanctified. Sorry. This is so because each day is corrected through the 7 upper days, where by Chagat Nehim de Chesed de Zerampin, Chesed de Malchut is corrected. And through Chagat Nehim de Gvura de Zerampin, Gvura de Malchut is corrected. Similarly, each one that is corrected in Malchut is called a week, because it entered those 7 high days. This is why it is written, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths, indicating the 7 lower days, Chagat Nehim de Malchut, each of which is called a week. And because they are females, since they are 7 Sfirot of Malchut, it is said in female form in Hebrew, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. 68. And when the 7 Sfirot de Malchut were sanctified in the 49 upper Sfirot and the house, the 7 Sfirot de Malchut that did not receive corrections on the first night of Passover was corrected for a woman to unite with her husband, for Malchut to bond with Zerampin. Then it is called the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks. It is named after those Nukvaot, the 7 Sfirot of Malchut, which are called 7 weeks, that those high days are on them, meaning the 49 days of Zerampin that they were sanctified in. This is why it is written, in your Feast of Weeks, which means that they are yours. And it does not say in the Feast of Weeks, since as the 7 Sfirot de Malchut, called weeks, were sanctified, Israel below were sanctified along with them, since Israel below depend on the sanctity of Malchut from whom they receive. This is why it says, in your Feast of Weeks. 69. Hence, when reaching 49 days, that upper day upon them, the 50th day, Binah, governs the 49 days, the 49 Sfirot Zerampin, the whole of the Torah, whereas the Zerampin is called the Torah, in which there are 49 faces. Then, through the awakening of the lower ones, that high day, the 50th day, Binah, produces the Torah, the Zerampin, meaning his Mochin Degar, the whole of the 49 faces that were corrected through the count of 49 days.
Okay, is it clear thus far? Is there any problems with the intention? Okay.
The bird, too, has found a home. 70. A bird, too, has found a home, and the sparrow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. The bird, too, has found a home, refers to the birds of the sky. Some of them build their nests outside, and some build their nests in people's houses. Such is the sparrow, which is a bird that builds its nest in the house of every person, or rather of any person, and is not afraid because everyone calls him Dror, sparrow, which translates to freedom in Hebrew. From the day it builds a nest and produces offspring, it dwells in the house for 50 days, and then they part from one another. This is the bird called Dror, which means freedom, which implies Binah. And Malchut is called a bird. 71. It is written, and you shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land. The 50th year is Bina, from which liberty is emitted to all. And because liberty comes out of it, the Torah that comes out of Bina is called freedom. This is why it is written, charut, or engraved upon the tables. Do not pronounce charut, which means engraved, but charut, which means freedom. This is the Torah that is called freedom. What this high day, meaning Bina, educes is called freedom, and it is freedom for all. Also, that day is superior freedom, because there is inferior freedom and superior freedom, meaning upper hay, which is Bina, and the lower hay, which is Malchut. The Shemitah, the sabbatical year, which is Malchut, and Yovel, Jubilee, is Bina. They are as one, meaning they clothe one another, and then the Bina is called upper freedom, and Malchut is called lower freedom. Bread of the first crop, 72. There are two kinds of bread that Israel ate. One was when they came out of Egypt. Then they ate matzot, unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, the bread from Malchut. And the other was in the desert, where they ate the bread from the heaven, the bread from Zaampin, called heaven. It is written, "Behold, I will cause to rain bread from the heaven for you." This is why the offering of the holy day of Shavuot is bread, and the rest of the sacrifices are offered on bread. The bread is the main thing, as it is written, "And you shall present on the bread seven lambs. As it is written, you shall bring out of your dwellings two wave loaves." This is the bread in which Israel were made wise in the high wisdom of the Torah and came in her ways. 73. On Passover, Israel came out of the bread called leaven, as it is written, "And there shall be no leavened bread, there shall no leavened bread be seen with you." It is also written, "For whosoever eats that of which is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel." They came out of the leaven because of the glory of the bread that is called matzah. Now that Israel were granted with high bread of Zaampin, it was inappropriate for the leaven to be cancelled and not be seen at all. And why was this offering of the first bread leaven? After all, it is written, "They shall be a fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven." Moreover, on this day, the evil inclination, leaven, was revoked, since the Torah called, "Freedom is present." So why was leaven brought in? 74. It is like a king who had an only son who was sickened. One day he wished to eat. They said, "Let the king's son eat this medicine, and before he eats it, let no other food be in the house." And so they did. When he ate of that medicine, he said, "Henceforth, let him eat whatever he chooses. It will not be able to harm him." 75. Similarly, when Israel came out of Egypt, they did not know the meaning and the foundation of the faith. The Creator said, "Let Israel taste the cure, and as long as they eat that medicine, let no other food be seen by them," meaning leaven. When they ate the matzah, which is the medicine, to come and to know the meaning of faith, which is Malchut, the Creator said, "Henceforth, they are fit for leaven. Let them eat it, for it can no longer harm them." And on the day of Shavuot, the high bread of Zaampin was found, meaning complete healing. 76. This is why leaven is offered, meaning the evil inclination, to be burnt at the altar through the sacrifices that are offered at the altar. And the two other breads are offered by waving them together. Two other breads, or loaves of bread, means besides the sacrifices. The leaven, the evil inclination, is burned in the fire of the altar through the sacrifices and cannot rule and harm Israel. This is why the holy Israel adhere to the Creator on this day with the healing of the Torah. And if Israel had kept both kinds of bread, the matzah and the high bread of Zaampin, they would never come into din, into judgment. There are two kinds of mochin to the nukva. One, from the time she was the two great lights prior to the diminution. At that time, she was on par with Zerampin and was not receiving from him. Rather, they both received from Ima equally. Zerampin clothed her right line, Chesedim, and Malchut clothed her left line, Chochmah, without Chesedim. Then the moon complained, because without Chesedim, Chochmah cannot shine, and her illumination was heavily restricted. Two, afterwards she was told, go and diminish yourself. Then she descended below Chesed Zerampin, meaning that the Masach in Chesed Zerampin diminished her until she had nothing of her own and she receives everything from Zerampin. But instead, she is built in great mochin from Chochmah and Chesedim until she is in Zivug Panim Befanim, or face-to-face, with Zerampin. However, there is no absence in spirituality. Even though she was diminished and returned to Panim Befanim after the diminution, the mochin from beforehand, before the diminution, was not cancelled in her. Instead, because of their limited illumination, the mochin from prior to the diminution are called mochin d'achoraim, or posterior mochin, matzah, which is called bread of affliction. And the mochin that remains after the diminution is called mochin d'panim, or anterior mochin, as well as bread from the heavens, since she receives these mochin from Zerampin, who is called the heavens. Those are regarded as containing leaven, which means dinim, or judgment, due to the diminution that she was diminished when she descended from Chesed Zerampin downwards. And the dinim at the point of Chesed Zerampin are leaven. Yet this leaven is corrected until it becomes holiness and mercy, rachamim, since it became revealed that were it not for the diminution and these dinim, Malchut would have remained with bread of affliction and would never have received the great mochin of Panim Befanim. Thus, there are two kinds of corrections in two kinds of mochin de Malchut. The correction of mochin d'achoraim, which is to root out the leaven and remove it, as it is written, let it not be seen and let it not be found, since the chokhmah roots out all the dinim. However, they do not completely uproot the leaven from all the lower places where it is still present. Hence, it turns out that the healing is incomplete. Two, but the mochin de panim, by which the leaven is turned and becomes holiness and rachamim, completely uproots the leaven, and it has no place in which to awaken anymore. This is why this is considered complete healing. Israel ate two kinds of bread. When they came out of Egypt, they ate the matzah, bread of affliction, the mochin d'achoraim of the Malchut, whose illumination is restricted for lack of chasadim. This is the bread of affliction. However, these mochin are of Malchut herself, who received from Binah and not through Zerampin. This is why the 7 days of Matzot are lower ones, the mochin of Malchut herself. And one in the desert is the bread from heaven, man, which was from mochin de Zerampin itself. Hence, the offering of the feast of Shavuot is also bread from the heaven, like the man, except these are the mochin of Malchut who received them from heaven, Zerampin, the mochin of Panim Befanim. It was said about them, you shall bring out of your dwellings 2 wave loaves, from the land, which is Malchut. However, she received them from the heaven, Zerampin. They are not her own mochin, like the mochin de Choraim. And ye shall be present with the bread 7 lambs. Since the bread, the mochin of Panim Befanim, that are extended on Shavuot through the waving of the bread, is the primary aim. And the offerings that are sacrificed are for complementing the bread. This is so because the leaven in the mochin panim de panim turns into holiness and rachamim by making the offerings. Since the fire of the altar turns the leaven, which is the dinim, that came due to the diminution, into a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is written, "You shall bring out of your dwellings two wave loaves," referring to the bread from the land that comes from your dwelling places, and not the man which they ate in the desert. This is bread in which Israel grew wise, the high chokhmah, or wisdom, of the Torah, since they are the mochin, the panim, that come from Zaampin, which is called Torah to the Malchut. And Israel, who received those mochin, were also rewarded with high chokhmah.
Now is leavened allowed in Pesach? Because there are the dinim and the evil inclination. But there are two kinds of remedies. First, matzah, to distance the judgment, but there are no inverting them to rachamim. And two, the bread of bikurim and gifts on the altar, where they burn the, and it inverts to the smell that is wonderful, which is amazing remedy, until the leaven becomes sanctity, as it is written, and the bread of Nufa will be baked in chametz. And if Israel were to keep these two kinds of bread, matzah and the upper lechem of Zeranpin, they would never come in din, because by the matzah and the first crop and the tumot, the judgment will become sanctity and in any place that they are in. 77. The day of the beginning of the year is a day of din for those who did not take the healing food, matzot, meaning mochin of achoraim, and left the healing of the Torah, which is mochin of panim bepanim, from Zeran being called Torah. Through these two healings, the other food was corrected, the leaven, and became holiness. Since on that day of the beginning of the year, leaven rises, accuses man, and slanders against him. On that day, he is poised to slander against the world, and the Creator sits in judgment over everything and judges the world. 78. For this reason, when the Creator gave the Torah to Israel, he gave them a taste from that high bread, from the mochin of panim of Zeranpin, from that place, from the malchut that receives from him. Through that bread, they knew and observed the secrets of the Torah to go on the straight path. 79. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, his son, Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Yossi were walking along the way. While they were walking, they met an old man who was holding on to a certain child with his hand. The elder implies the mochin apanim. The child is mochin of achoraim. Rabbi Shimon put his eyes on him and said to Rabbi Abba, "Certainly we have new things in this elder." 80. When they came to him, Rabbi Shimon said to him, "In this journey that is on this weight that's on your back, you come," meaning you have no donkey to carry your load, which implied the mochin of achoraim, which he holds on to, which is as a burden. "Who are you?" He told him, "I am a Jew." Rabbi Shimon told him, "New things are certainly with you on this day. Where is your land?" He told him, "My abode was amongst those who were in the desert where I tried in Torah, and now I've come to the settlement to sit in the shadow of the Creator on these days of the seventh month." 81. Rabbi Shimon was glad and sad and said, "Let's sit, because certainly the Creator sent you to us." He told him, "Smile, so we can hear words from your mouth, from what new and old things that are coming from you, that you have seated in the desert on this seventh month. Why did you separate from the desert to come to the settlement?" The old man said to him, "On that question, I know that there's wisdom in you, and your words come to the firmament of wisdom."
Yes.
How to renew the intention all the time? How to... it's like a person is being thrown away from the intention all the time.
Thrown away. I am waiting all day long for the Zohar lesson, so that I can come here and throughout the lesson constantly demand correction. Yes.
What should I demand exactly? How to constantly be in the right demand?
That's how it is. Think about it during the day. Think about it during the day. And think of the fact that success depends on this, the success, your success in life. There's nothing else more than this. Besides it, we need to rely on this.
כותרת ובמדבר אשר ראית 82.
The heading and in the desert where you saw. 82. And in the desert where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. What is you saw? The Creator spoke loudly to Israel in the desert, as it is written, the great and terrible desert with its fiery serpent and scorpions. And in the desert, the strongest of all the deserts in the world, he led Israel there. 83. At the time when Israel came out of Egypt and were completed to 600,000, the holy Malchut was strengthened and rose above everything. And the moon, Malchut, illuminated. Then the evil Malchut of Sitrahra surrendered, and the Creator brought Israel out to walk in the strong desert, in the place and governance of evil Sam, who was actually his, to break his authority and strength, and to cut its head and subdue it so it would not rule. And if Israel had not sinned, the Creator would have wished to remove him from the world. Hence, he moved Israel through his actual lot and fate and domain. 84. Since they sinned several times, the serpent bit them, and then the writing, "He shall bruise you on the head," came true, meaning that Israel struck its head first. However, they did not know how to beware of it, and the serpent struck last, and all fell in the desert, and the words, "And you shall bruise him on the heel," came true. 40 years they were struck by it, corresponding to 40 strikes of the courthouse. 85. This is why it's written, "Where you saw," since they saw with their eyes the owner of the desert, walking chained before them, and they took his lot and his fate. As it is written, "Then the chiefs of Edom were frightened as the fiery serpent and the scorpion, and we too separated from the settled place to the strong desert to engage in Torah there and subdue that side." 86. Moreover, words of Torah settle in only there, since there is no light except for that which comes out of the darkness. This is so because that side, so when that side surrenders, the Creator rises above and his glory grows. Also, the work of the Creator is only out of the darkness, and there is no good except from within the bad. And when one enters a bad way and leaves it, the Creator rises in his glory. Hence, the perfection of everything is good and bad together, and to later depart to the good. And there is no good except for that which comes out of the bad. And in that good, the glory of the Creator increases, and this is complete work. 87. Thus far, we have been sitting there all the days of the year to surrender that side in the desert. Now that the time of the holy work of the holy side has come, we are returning to the settled place where there is the work of the Creator. Moreover, now in the beginning of the year, it is the time for that serpent to ask for din before the Creator. And there in the desert he rules, which is why we parted there and came to the settled place. Blow the shofar on the new moon. 88. Blow the horn on the new moon at the full moon of our feast day. Now is the time of a high, strong judgment to awaken. When it awakens, the sitracha awakens with it. And since the sitracha strengthens, it rises and covers the moon, the malchut. She does not shine light, and she fills from the side of din. At that time, the whole world is in din, upper and lower. And a herald comes out through all the firmaments, set up the throne to have a judge of judgment for the Lord of everything, for he wishes to judge. 89. And there's a secret here which shone up for us in the desert. Why was din awakened in the world on this day? Indeed, all the secrets and all the precious sanctities are dependent upon the seventh, the Malchut. And the upper seventh is the upper world, called the next world, Bina. All the candles, all the sanctities, and all the blessings shine from her to Malchut. And when it is time to renew the blessings and the holy things to shine, the correction of all the worlds must be observed to renew the blessings and sanctities. Then all the corrections to sustain the worlds rise from the lower ones if their deeds are righteous. If they are not virtuous, Malchut stands and does not shine until the wicked are separated from the righteous, and then the din awakens. 90. And from that sitracha, the din grows stronger and accuses, so he will be given those wicked. Since he examines every purpose and covers the moon, so she will not shine. And why does he not give the wicked to the hands of the accuser? It is because the Creator does not wish to destroy the works of his hands. 91. There is a harsh klipa in the sitracha that cannot be broken, unless by the counsel that the Creator gave to Israel, when it is written, blow the horn on the new moon at the full moon of our feast day, to break that covering that covers the moon, the Malchut, so she does not shine.
שבת אחים גם יחד הנה מקום ענאי שבת אחים גם יחד הנה מקום שבת אחים גם יחד הנה מקום שבת אחים גם יחד שלום לכל החברים שלנו בכל מקום.
Hello to all friends all over the world, South America, Kharkov, the United Virtual Group, many others, Kaumiel, and so on. Can't see from here. Chelyabinsk, Lvov, Siberia. Great. Krasnoyarsk, Moscow.
כל טוב לכולם.
Best wishes for everyone, and see you come the morning lesson.